Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
My child shared that their friend is doing something that they shouldn't. It isn't physically hurtful, but is sinful. My child has tried to speak with their friend about this issue, but without success. I know the parents. Should I tell them what their child is doing?
This is a really good question. I wanted to leap for joy when I read this question, but I didn't because I'm prone to injury. So, great question. Let's start out just by being clear about a couple of assumptions that we're making as we answer this. First of all, we're going to assume that this child or teen is unrepentant, and that's what I'm gathering from the phrase, but without success. So this listener has a child who has approached his or her friend about whatever sin they're in and has had no success. I'm guessing that means that there's no repentance. So this is not a case where the child is fighting the good fight against temptation the way all believers do. If someone is fighting sin, occasionally falling, but repenting and fighting, I most likely would not go to the parent, but I would just encourage my child to tell their friend, to tell their parent, so that the parent can help them with the fight. That's one assumption that we're making, that this is a case of unrepentance. A second assumption that we're making is that this is something that's serious and not just age-appropriate immaturity. So it's something like the child is looking at pornography or having an inappropriate relationship with someone. It's not something like cliquishness or not sharing, which we would expect of somebody immature like a child or teen. So those are the two assumptions. This is unrepentant, serious issue, not something that we would think of as appropriate or appropriately immature.
Yeah. All right, so do you tell the parent their child is involved in sinful behavior or not?
I believe so. I've made the decision to do this in the past, and I would do it again, but I've learned some things that might be helpful, particularly on the practical side, which is how to go about it. So, yeah, I believe you should tell the parent.
All right, so first, why would you tell?
Well, the Bible doesn't have a passage about what to do when your friend's kid is in sin, so I can't say that this is the absolute right thing to do, but there are principles that lead me to say that I would tell the parent. And the first of those principles is that the Bible teaches us about the destructiveness of sin. Sin is destructive to the soul. We read about the passions of the flesh waging war against our soul, according to 1 Peter 2:11. In 1 Peter 5:8, we read about the devil prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Someone who's engaged in unrepentant sin is letting the world, the flesh, and the devil destroy their soul. And so if we stand by, so too are we letting that happen. When someone is in unrepentant sin, they are in danger, according to the scriptures. Another principle that would lead me to tell is that we have these passages in the New Testament that do address the issue of confrontation, and they seem to present a principle that I would call escalating confrontation. Escalating confrontation. The scriptures tend to present the task of confrontation as a rescue mission that escalates in intensity if the person does not repent. And so the purpose, because sin is so destructive, the purpose of confrontation is to rescue the person, and you don't give up after just one attempt to rescue them. A passage that I would appeal to as an example would be Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. And many of us are familiar with these verses. We've read them many times here at Providence. But there the Lord Jesus says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." Now, the case presented by our listener in this question isn't the same as a church discipline situation, although I guess it could get to that point in the right circumstances. But I simply want to point out the pattern of escalating confrontation in Matthew 18. We ought not give up after one confrontation. In fact, out of love for that person, we should escalate our confrontation for their good. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:5 why we would pursue escalating confrontation. We do it, he writes, so that his spirit, that is the person who is unrepentant, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. That's rescue language. It's similar to Matthew 18:15, which reads, if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. That is, you've gained him as opposed to losing him to sin and death. This is a rescue mission. And so to not escalate the confrontation is to allow that sin to have its way with that child. And these passages, Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians 5, these passages that deal with confrontation as an escalating duty, they explicitly teach that first principle, which is the destructiveness of sin. Now, this may be a situation in which the family in question is not a part of a church. And so I do want to reiterate, Matthew 18 is written to the church. 1 Corinthians 5 is written to the church. You can't do church discipline in a family, and you can't apply it in a family exactly the way you would in a church. Why do I say that? Because in the following verses of Matthew 18, Jesus gives the keys of the kingdom to the church, not the family. So I want to be clear. By pointing out the principle of escalating confrontation, I'm not implying that eventually you would kick a family member out of the family. Not at all. In the case of a persistently unrepentant family member outside of the context of a local church, at some point you just have to leave it in the Lord's hands. I mean, you can escalate the confrontation. You can bring other people in to confront that family member. But eventually, you don't have the keys of the kingdom. You can't kick them out of anything. You just have to leave it in the Lord's hands. But we do still have this principle that love drives us to rescue people from their unrepentant sin, and we should escalate our efforts to do so as much as we can. And in this case, given that our listener's child has confronted this other child with no success, escalating the rescue mission would entail, in my mind, telling the parents whom God has placed in that child's life as his or her most immediate authority and spiritual help.
You know, some might say, well, this seems to be skipping a step of Matthew 18. Should you and your child go to that other child first?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would respond to that with a couple of things. As I've said, I'm not going to apply this passage to a family member as straightforwardly as I would in a church context. Rather, I'm just gathering this broad principle of escalating confrontation from Matthew 18, and I'm applying it. But if we did want to apply Matthew 18 in a very straightforward way, as we would in a church context, I would still do the same thing that I've proposed. Verse 16 there in Matthew 18 reads, "But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses." So that's the second step in the process of Matthew 18. And it requires telling other people about the sin. So one person has confronted this person. That person then, by necessity, in order to take two or three witnesses, must tell other people. So your child has told you, you're telling the parent. It makes perfect sense for the parent to be one of these two or three witnesses working to bring their own child to repentance. So I would say, Even though we're not saying this applies directly to the family, and we should use it exactly the same way we would in the church, I still think that this would be the appropriate way to do it.
What do you think are some reasons that people might hesitate to tell the parent in a situation like this?
Well, they may think, "Oh, this is just none of my business because that's not my child." Or maybe they've told a parent before in a similar situation and it didn't go well. I've been in that boat. I've experienced that. Or they just don't want to get involved because these things can get messy. To all of those thoughts, I would say, what if you saw a kid drowning in a pool? Would you say about that situation, "Wow, this really isn't my business because that isn't my kid"? Or would you say, I've tried to rescue a kid before and my cell phone got ruined? Or would you say, I just really can't get wet right now? I mean, what would we think about somebody willing to let a kid drown?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's a terrible thing. Well, we've already noted that the Bible is very clear that sin is destructive to the soul.
Yeah.
Jesus says, hey, don't worry about the person who can destroy your body. Mm. Worry about the person who can destroy your soul,
right,
indicating that destruction of the soul is worse than destruction,
yeah,
of the body. So if we see that a person's sin is in jeopardy, I mean, not sin is in jeopardy, but soul is in jeopardy, we should take that more seriously,
right,
than if we see them drowning, and we should do something about it.
Right, right. So how would you go about it?
Okay. I think I would do five things. First of all, I would pray fervently. I would pray with my child about this. Mm-hmm. I would bring my child into this process, pray with my child about it, pray for their friend, pray for their friend's parent, and I would ask my child to pray. So I would pray, ask my child to pray. We would just pray that that parent would be receptive, and that child would also be receptive and would repent and turn to the Lord. Second, I would make sure that I had as much information as possible, and that as far as I could possibly be sure that information was accurate, because you don't want to go into a situation like that with not having as much information as you can,
mm-hmm,
or with information that's inaccurate could be harmful. Third, I would either call that parent or meet with the parent. The person who has asked this question will know the other parent in the situation better than I do. So you who asked this question, you'll know that person, whether a call would suffice or whether you need to meet with that parent. I would not do email, but if you suspect that parent may not believe you or may not take it well in some other way, then I would meet in person rather than a phone call. Fourth, I wouldn't make any straightforward accusations, because it's possible that I have bad or incomplete information. So I wouldn't make accusations, but rather I would ask questions like, is it possible that Junior is looking at pornography, or is it possible that this thing is going on? And here's why I ask. Mm. Here's what I've heard. I'm coming to you out of love. I'm just concerned for you.
Yeah.
And then fifth, I would ask how I could help. I would want them to know that my whole concern here is that I love this parent, love their child, want to see the best for both of them, and I want to do whatever I can to be a blessing to both of them.
Yeah.
So that's how I would handle it.
Yeah. Well, this has been very practical. I'm sure this is, and it's helpful in many ways. So if you know anybody you would like to share this with, please do. Give us a like, share it on all your social media, and until next time, Rick.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.